Hi, this is Pastor Bill Woods, and I'm wishing you a happy Thanksgiving. We'll be speaking tomorrow again at the Baptist Church at First and Buffalo, First Avenue in Buffalo here in Holbrook, and I would invite you to come. We're going to be talking about Where Are the Nine? Today I want to just talk about Where Are the Thankful? It's the same scripture, but I've got a different slant on it. And I hope that you'll enjoy both of them. I'd like to have you come tomorrow morning. Sunday school at 10 o'clock. Morning worship's at 11 o'clock. And then evening service is at 6 o'clock Sunday night. It's a Bible study, and I encourage you to come. I want to ask this question, where are the thankful? In Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 17 from the New Living Translation, it says, as Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He looked at them and said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. He fell on the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, well, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other nine? Next Thursday, November 28th, is Thanksgiving Day. When we focus on the matter of giving thanks, we ought to take a little more seriously what we do on Thanksgiving Day. Thanksgiving Day is a national holiday of the United States commemorating the harvest reaped by the Plymouth Colony in 1621. The first national Thanksgiving Day was proclaimed by President George Washington for November 26, 1789. President Lincoln revived the custom in 1863. In 1941, Congress decreed Thanksgiving should fall on the fourth Thursday of November. The customary turkey dinner is a reminder of the four wild turkeys served at the Pilgrims' first Thanksgiving feast after they had had that horrible winter where they got down to only 5 kernels of corn per person. Only 2 people were able to get up and walk around and wait on the others, and over half the people, 51 people, died out of 100 and I think 2 that winter. It was a horrible winter. But they now had recovered, and they had had a crop, and they had made friends with the Indian neighbors, and they had a Thanksgiving feast. You know, today it's time when family, friends, and loved ones get together to enjoy a great Thanksgiving feast. 2 years ago, government officials tried to limit how many people were allowed to come to family get-togethers to celebrate this wonderful holiday. They use the excuse of trying to control the COVID-19 pandemic. This year, some numbskulls are boycotting family get-togethers because some of the family members voted for President Trump. And I think, how silly. I mean, you know, this is a time when we ought to be rejoicing. We ought to be together. We ought to be praising God for his wonderful blessings. Thanksgiving should be a natural way of life for Christians. Thanksgiving, not the meal, but the attitude, shouldn't happen just once a year. We should daily be expressing our thanks to God out of hearts grateful for his blessing, for his forgiveness of our sins. In our text today, Jesus and his disciples are traveling on the border between Galilee and Samaria. They are met by 10 lepers. The Jews hated the Samaritans, had no dealing with them, but in this group of 10 lepers, there was at least one Samaritan. The Samaritans were a mixed race that the Jews felt were contaminated by foreign blood and false worship. Jewish historian Josephus said Samaritans were also opportunists. When the Jews enjoyed prosperity, the Samaritans were quick to acknowledge their blood relationship. But when the Jews suffered hard times, the Samaritans disowned any such kinship, declaring they were descendants of Assyrian immigrants. The problem was a result of the Jews in the Babylonian captivity who intermarried with the Assyrians and tainted the pure Jewish blood. They produced half-breeds. How they were half Jew, now they were half Jew and half Assyrian Gentiles. they were labeled Samaritans. When a group of Jews led by Zerubbabel returned from the Babylonian captivity, the Samaritans offered to help Zerubbabel build the temple. And when their offer was rejected, so they tried to prevent the Jews from finishing their project. In Ezra chapter 4, 1 through 10, it says, "The enemies of Judah and Benjamin heard that the exiles were rebuilding the temple to the Lord, the God of Israel. So they approached Zerubbabel and the other leaders and said, 'Let us build with you, for we worship your God just as you do. We have sacrificed to him ever since King Esarhaddon of Assyria brought us here.' But Zerubbabel, Jeshua, and the other leaders of Israel replied, 'You may have no part in this work. We alone will build the temple for the Lord, the God of Israel, just as King Cyrus of Persia commanded us.' Then the local residents tried to discourage and frighten the people of Judah to keep them from their work. They bribed agents to work against them and to frustrate their plans. This went on during the entire reign of King Cyrus of Persia and lasted until King Darius of Persia took the throne. Years later, when Xerxes began his reign, the enemies of Judah wrote a letter of accusation against the people of Judah and Jerusalem. Even later, during the reign of King Artaxerxes of Persia, the enemies of Judah, led by Bishlam and Mithridath and Tabeel, sent a letter to Artaxerxes in the Aramaic language and was translated for the king. Rehum, the governor, and Shimshai, the court secretary, wrote the letter telling King Artaxerxes about the situation in Jerusalem. They greeted the king for all their colleagues and the judges and local leaders, the people of Tarpel and the Persians, the Babylonians, and the people of Erech and Susa, that is Elam. They also sent great greetings from the rest of the people whom the great and noble Ashurbanipal had deported and relocated in Samaria and throughout the neighboring lands of the province west of the Euphrates River. Well, when Nehemiah attempted to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, he was opposed by Arabic and Samaritan groups. You can read about it in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 10 through chapter 6, verse 14. It's interesting reading. The breach between the Samaritans and the Jews widened even further when Ezra, in his zeal for racial purity, pressured all Israelite men who had married during the captivity to divorce their pagan wives. This is Ezra chapter 10, 18 to 44. The final break between the two groups occurred when the Samaritans built their own rival temple on Mount Gerizim, claiming Shechem rather than Zion, which would be Jerusalem, as the true Bethel or the house of God, the site traditionally chosen and blessed by the Lord. Well, again, Jesus, traveling with his disciples, when they came across this group of pitiful lepers who called out to Jesus for help, there's a beautiful picture here. Jesus knew no animosity towards these people. He knew that there was animosity that existed between the Jews and the Samaritans, but instead of seeing these people as enemies, he saw 10 men in desperate need. He was touched by their needs. 10 lepers were healed. Only one returned to thank Jesus for his healing. Figure it out. Only 10% came back to thank Christ for what he had done. I think that's probably pretty close to the figures today, too. Let's not be guilty of being part of that 90% who didn't give Jesus the thanks and glory that he had coming because of the healing. The condition of the men, it said in verse 22, they were lepers. Leprosy is a type or a picture of sin in a person's life. All these men were defiled. The leper had to be separated from society, and he had to cry out if somebody was coming near, "Unclean, unclean," so others were warned as to his defilement. They were denounced. No one wanted anything to do with a leper. The lepers were an unkempt people. Their bodies stank due to the putrefying sores all over their bodies, their lack of personal hygiene. No one was to touch them, and everyone was to keep their distance from these stricken people. We don't know how much distance had to be between the leper and the healthy people. One authority said if the leper was windward of a healthy person, he was to stand at least 50 yards or 150 feet away. The lepers lived in isolation. Leprosy was a highly communicable disease. The leper had to wear mourning, that would be M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, clothes, leave his hair unkempt, kept his beard covered, and cry, "Unclean, unclean," to warn folks that he had leprosy. He had to make it clear that everyone was to avoid him. He was an outcast as long as he lived. And they were denied any kind of social life or anything. A leper wasn't allowed to join in public worship because he was defiled and might infect others. A person's sins must be forgiven before he can truly worship God. Notice these lepers' miserable cry in verse 13, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They were desperate. No one else could help them. They were crying out for mercy. Jesus was their only hope for healing. Christ's compassion showed right here what a wonderful God we serve. They didn't know when Jesus spoke and told them to go show themselves to the priest in chapter 7, verse 14. They didn't know it would bring their healing, but as they were going on their way, they were healed. When they obeyed Jesus' instructions, they were cleansed. Jesus healed them all. He was moved by their plight and by their faith. The cleansing of the marked ones was Luke 17, verse 14, says they were cleansed. Only Jesus could make the leper clean. It's the same thing with our disease of sin. Only Jesus can clean sins. Faith was part of their recovery. Faith is part of our recovery. Obedience had to be part of their recovery too. If they had not obeyed God or Christ, it would not have happened. But Jesus Christ, God's Son, part of the Godhead, brought about their healing because they did as he told them to do. Only one was grateful enough to come back and thank Jesus, and that's told us in Luke 17, verses 15 and 16. And Jesus said, as he was there bowing before him, in Luke 17, 18, he said, "Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God except this stranger." Faith made them whole. However, their faith was anchored in the person of Jesus Christ. At the age of 7, a young boy and his family were forced out of their home. The boy was forced to go to work. When he was 9, his mother died. He had a job as a store clerk, but lost it when he was 20. The young man wanted to go to law school, but he had no education. He went into debt when he was 23 to become a partner of a small store. 3 years later, his business partner died and left him with a debt that took years to repay. He dated a girl for 4 years, and at the age of 28, he asked her to marry him. She turned him down. At 37, he was elected to Congress. On this third try, he then failed to be reelected. This man's son died when the baby was only 4 years old. At age 45, this man ran for the Senate and failed to be elected. He persisted at politics and ran for vice presidency at the age of 47 and lost. Finally, at age 51, he was elected President of the United States. His name, as you probably have guessed, was Abraham Lincoln. And then President Lincoln did a very unusual thing. In the midst of the darkest day in American history, in the midst of the Civil War, which claimed more American lives than any other war, in the midst of great trial and tragedy, President Lincoln issued the following proclamation. "It has seemed to me fit and proper that the gifts of God should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. Abraham Lincoln had a grateful heart. He knew that even in the midst of great tribulation and hardship, there was still much to be thankful for. He was like that one Samaritan that came back and thanked God for the fact that he had been healed. Abraham Lincoln took the time to express his gratitude to God and invited the American people to join him in giving thanks to the Holy One. May faith express itself in our lives through gratitude and thanksgiving unto God. Have you thought recently about how you ought to thank God for sending Jesus Christ to be our Savior, to die in our place on that old rugged cross so that our sins could be forgiven? He had no sin of his own, but he died for you and for me so we didn't have to pay the price for our sin in eternity in hell. Thank God for the love of God that sent Jesus Christ to be our Savior. Thank God for the blessings he's given us throughout our lives to live in this magnificent country. Take time this Thanksgiving to thank God for all the things he's done. I know there's a big banquet. I know also there's TV with football games and all that. But I know also how much God would appreciate you coming back, not being part of the nine that didn't say thank you on that day of the lepers. I got healed, but he would appreciate you coming back and say, praise God for all the blessings you give us. Lord, help me to live the life you want me to live in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you help us each one, that we'd realize what a privilege it is to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. How we have this sin problem, Lord, which is far worse than leprosy. Leprosy kills the body. But the sin problem would send us to hell for all eternity. Oh God, thank you for making a way that we can avoid that awful time in eternity. And help us, Lord, to move close to you and be thankful for all that you've done. If there's somebody that doesn't know you as their Savior today, help them to realize you said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Help them to realize you said, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us to really make this a true day of thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. I would tell you, if you would like to get in touch with me, you can write to me on Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. You can text me at 623-845-2741. That's the same number that you could call live if you want to and talk to me. And I hope that you'll take time this Thanksgiving to praise God for all the blessings that he has given to you. And I hope if you don't know him as your Savior, this will be the Thanksgiving that you find him as your Lord and Savior and truly have something to be thankful for. God bless you. Hope you have a good Thanksgiving. And I hope you know the giver of all things that we should be thankful to.